Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. There is new concern and new hope today for the six kidnapped Americans still unaccounted for in Lebanon. Yesterday, an anonymous caller told a Western news agency that time is running out for the U.S. government to meet the abductors' demands. But the caller also said some of the hostages would appear at a news conference. Since yesterday, though, as Robert Fisk of the Times of London told us from Beirut, there has been only silence.
It's still something of a mystery. We just have this one document, this one message to go on, and no further explanation as to how a press conference, a news conference, or a humanitarian initiative is to come about.
Fisk says the latest rhetoric from the Shiite Muslim abductors carries a hopeful phrase.
Although the statement contains an implicit warning to the American government that concessions will have to be made after such a news conference, if it takes place, if the hostages' lives are to be protected, it also contains an important phrase about, I quote, a humanitarian initiative, and it does look as if the captors of the Americans and French are looking for some kind of face-saving formula, perhaps for all sides involved in this, which would allow this business to come to an end.
This morning, White House National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane had no solid word of an impending breakthrough.
We hope that there will be a break. We have no other basis for expecting it. It is to play upon the anguish of those captives and their families.
Today, President Reagan meets with Jordan's King Hussein to discuss a renewed Middle East peace effort and a new arms package for Jordan. France is today mourning one of its great film stars.
This is David Andelman in Paris. She was one of the early French actresses to achieve truly international renown, Simone Signoret, winner of the Academy Award in 1960 for Best Actress for Room at the Top, dead today in Paris at the age of 64. Born in Germany in 1921, she made her entire career in French cinema, rising to stardom after World War II. She played in more than 40 films, ranging from The Fiends to The Sleeping Car Murder and The Seagull. On stage, she played Macbeth and appeared often with her second husband, the singer Yves Montand, to whom she was married from 1951 until her death. Both she and her husband made no secret of their sympathies with the political left. Her last public appearance was on stage for the presentation of the French Oscars last March, her husband by her side, helping her open and read the award. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
Coming up on 3 minutes past the hour. The United States will learn more today about the latest nuclear disarmament plan from the Soviet Union.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. President Reagan has welcomed the Soviets' offer to make deep cuts in offensive nuclear arsenals. But when details of the Soviet proposal are unveiled in Geneva today, administration officials privately believe they may be able to win a round in the public relations fight. An administration source says the Soviets will propose a 50% reduction in all U.S. land, air, and sea-based nuclear forces, but a 50% reduction only in their, quote, relevant forces. Officials say the term relevant has not yet been defined. Assistant Secretary of Defense Richard Perle.
If what the Soviets intend to propose is a limitation that includes some of our systems and not some of theirs, an essentially unfair and unbalanced reduction, then that would not be terribly appealing to us.
U.S. officials also say they'll have to reject the Soviets' arms control offer if the Soviets insist on the elimination of Star Wars research as a precondition. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
South African President P.W. Botha scheduled a major speech tonight in the riot-torn Eastern Cape province after a weekend of violence in which 8 blacks were killed. Botha had said earlier this month he would make announcements about reform in apartheid today, but state-run South Africa Radio has tried to dampen speculation there will be anything dramatic. 5 minutes past the hour. The government's main economic forecasting tool, the Index of Leading Indicators, showed a healthy August increase of 0.7%. That, according to economist Michael Evans, is welcome news.
I think it's a very positive development, particularly in view of the fact that the July figure was also revised up from 0.4 to 0.7. And I think the indicators are telling us that the second leg of the recovery is finally getting underway and that we're going to have above average growth for the next 3 or 4 quarters.
Starting today, the New York Stock Exchange opens half an hour earlier at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Doug Poling was at the exchange to explain.
The exchange says it's doing this to provide more opportunity for investors around the world to participate in the marketplace. Because of time differences, it will make it easier for overseas investors to get their trades in. More and more foreign investors are buying U.S. stocks. More and more foreign companies are trading their stocks here. The last time they extended trading hours was 10 years ago. They went from a 3:30 p.m. New York time close to 4 p.m. There's even been talk of round-the-clock trading, a stock market that never closes. This is Doug Poling, CBS News, at the New York Stock Exchange.
And in the first half hour of trading, 15.5 million shares changed hands on the big board. The Dow Industrial Averages are up 9.63. Starting at midnight, the federal tax on liquor goes up 19%. Despite big beat-the-tax promotions, the retail liquor industry has not seen a huge consumer rush to stock up. Says Ralph Dupps, president of the George Dickel Distillery in Tennessee, there certainly hasn't been a Christmas in September. More than 900,000 homes and businesses remain without power in the Northeast this morning, the legacy of Hurricane Gloria. Most of those outages are on Long Island, New York, where people are still this morning coping with the storm's aftermath.
Having lived here all my life, I would say it was the worst one I've ever experienced.
I learned how helpless we are, I think.
You have to respect it. And I took it too lightly. I didn't think it was going to be that severe.
Gloria is blamed for at least 16 deaths and damage approaching $50 million. A 12-hour telethon yesterday raised more than $5 million for Mexican earthquake relief. Some of the Hispanic performers had a very personal stake in the disaster, among them opera star Placido Domingo.
Mexico has suffered the biggest, the greatest tragedy in the story of the nation. The tragedy has touched me personally because I have lost 4 members of my family.
Telethon proceeds will go to the Mexican Red Cross. Mexico's President Miguel de la Madrid has assured volunteer rescuers the demolished Juarez Hospital will not be dynamited until there are no more signs of life in the rubble. On Saturday, 2 more infants were found alive. About 200 people were injured yesterday when a crowded grandstand collapsed at the Dakota Bull Ring in Tecate, Mexico. More than 50 of the bullfight fans were rushed to hospitals. Maria Martinez reports from nearby San Diego.
As spectators watched the bullfight in progress, the aging stands gave way. A Tecate police sergeant said a section of the bull ring came down with about 3,000 people due to the weight of the crowd. He said at that moment, everyone tried to get out, and some were trampled as they tried to escape. The San Diego County Sheriff's Astra helicopter transported 2 Americans who were moderately injured to a local hospital. Dozens of others were taken by ambulance and private cars. Most were treated and released. Maria Martinez for CBS News, San Diego.
It's 10 minutes past the hour.